Hello, fellow foodies, and welcome back. This is Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you're listening to Foodie Pharmacology, the science podcast for the food curious. Today on the show, we're going to revisit this concept of edible insects. And I have a guest for us who's been researching and writing about this concept really since the 1970s. I'm really pleased to introduce you to Dr. Victor Benno Meyer-Rohau. He is a New Zealander with a PhD in both neurobiology and in ethnobiological studies. His neurobiological research has taken him several times to Antarctica and the Arctic, but his ethnobiological work has focused on Central and Western Australia, Papua New Guinea, Northeast India, and North Korea. He was managing director of the Research Institute of Luminous Organisms on a Japanese Pacific island. He also is currently serving as the emeritus professor at Oulu University's Department of Genetics and Ecology in Finland, where he's been an active member also of the suicide research group at that university's psychiatry department. To date, he's published approximately 500 research papers and books. He was also awarded fellowships by the Alexander von Humboldt Foundation, the Japanese Society for the Promotion of Science, the Fulbright Foundation, and the Finnish Academy, and has been a Queen Elizabeth II Fellow in Marine Sciences and a recipient of China's Bengji Forum Prize. A lot of this journey really started in his 1975 publication for the Australian and New Zealand Association for the Advancement of Science, in which he started this interest in insects as food and feed and suggested that the WHO and the FAO support this idea, which the FAO eventually did. So it's so great to have you on the show, Victor. It's really nice to meet you.
Thank you.
So I think there are many things that are incredibly impressive about your history and your career in science. And you know, one of the things that stands out to me is that you are one of the early proponents of insects as a source of human food and insects as a source of animal feed among the scientific community going back to the 1970s. What can you share with us about what really, you know, brought you to that point of finding this as a possible solution as a food source?
Yeah, well, first of all, it started in 1975 or even a little before that, when I was doing some anthropological work with Netsilik Eskimos. I know they're now called Inuit, but that is also a racist term because it means the real people, which means not you and me. But anyway, they are eating insects during the summertime. Then I spent some time for 3 months at Papua New Guinea, north of Australia. And I worked with the various tribes in Papua New Guinea and recorded the uses of insects as food. And whenever I came across that, they sort of shied away. They felt inferior. They felt this was not acceptable to Westerners. And then I thought, this is very stupid. I mean, they should be proud of their traditions. And it is nothing bad to eat insects. And that's when I wanted to write this article in 1975. At the same time, in 1975, there was a problem of a global food shortage, and there was some starvation in certain countries. And I felt the valuable insect protein and insects as food, that should be made available for people that have not much else to eat. Later, I found out in some countries, insects are in fact much more expensive and more valued than what we call conventional foodstuff, conventional like fish and meat. Anyway, in 1975, then I wrote this article for the Australian New Zealand Association for the Advancement of Science. They had a little journal called The Search. And I pointed out in that article that it would be a waste, for instance, when we have locust swarms in Australia, millions of locusts, to just destroy them with pesticides or some other way, when in fact they are valuable protein and they could be used. That was the main, one of the points in that article, short article. The other point was that I wanted to make sure that in countries where insects are still being eaten, people should not feel bad about it. In fact, they should be proud in some way that they have found some use of some insects, which in other countries have gone out of practice. I mean, insects were used and eaten in many countries, even including European countries and North America. But it got out of practice and people stopped eating them. And there's no need really, because it was already pointed out in 1885 by Holt in England, and then later by some American in, when was it? I've got it here, 1921. And then in France, 1941 by Berger. And of course, in 1951 by Fritz Bodenheimer in Israel, that insects can be eaten and insects are nutritious food. But nobody, until my article in 1975, linked that with a global food shortage and food security. So my article was the first one that suggested for global food security, one should make use of this available foodstuff, namely the insects, especially in tropical countries.
And what was the feedback at the time from your peers? Was this idea celebrated or was it accepted by the scientific community or the global food community at the time?
It was accepted by a few people from America, and there had been some that were very interested in it. But most of all, it was ridiculed, and there were funny drawings in newspapers, you know, like somebody sitting there in a restaurant and said, "Waiter, there's a vegetable in my soup that was meant to be an insect soup," and all that sort of stuff. You know, they really thought this was a crazy idea, but it took some time when people realized it is not a crazy idea. However, I have to say that in 1975, there was a world food shortage. In some countries, people were starving. This is no longer the case. Now, if one wants to advocate insects as food, one has to find a different angle because, as you know, there is a problem of obesity. There is overproduction of food. You know, world population is still increasing on a global scale, yes, but all European countries and many East Asian countries, including China, they are now having a decreasing population. So the idea that we have to make use of insects because the population is outstripping food resources, that's no longer the case. I don't know of any case in the world where people are really starving. Okay, there was some news today in Uganda that people are starving, and the Ugandan prime minister, he called them idiots. He was very much criticized for that because he says that it's such a fertile country. Everybody can grow food there in Uganda. Anyway, yes, there are probably some people who have not very good food. Even in your country, even in my country, in Finland, people eat, you know, fast food and not very healthy food. So that's where perhaps insects can come in. But they have other advantages. Insects have other advantages. They have a very low carbon footprint, very low carbon footprint. They have an incredible good biomass conversion. You know, you feed them something which can be food wastes that people cannot eat. And also they can be reared in a very small area instead of cattle, which require a huge area. I mean, I'm in New Zealand, and there you can see huge land suit paddocks just with a few cattle on them or sheep. So that is probably not a very good use of area of the countryside. But insects, you can rear in a very small area. You have to, of course, have some control of the temperature and humidity and have to make sure that there are no parasites attacking the insects and so on. But anyway, nowadays, the emphasis, I think, is no longer that we have to find enough food. There is enough food. There is too much food. In fact, when I go to the supermarket here in Finland, I find it staggering the amount of food that is thrown away. It is shocking because they all have a date whereby the food can no longer be sold. But it's perfectly all right, that food. And you probably have the same in America. You know, so
it's absolutely the same. Or fruit that looks perhaps not as beautiful as the most beautiful apple. If there's any spots at all, it's kind of discarded.
Yes.
So you're right. There is this strange disparity we have in food access or access to nutritional food, not just fast food, but also extensive food waste.
Yeah. So if we could find another angle for promoting insects and say, not only are they quite healthy, They are not necessarily more healthy than conventional food, but I told you there are many other advantages. But if they can reduce food-related or obesity-related disorders, if that angle can be promoted, and can then, of course, it could lead to a much better selling point of insects. If we can say they're more healthy and at the same time they don't lead to obesity and all these other health-related issues for overeating and so on, then we have another angle of using them. But I don't think that in Western countries it is easy to convert people from, well, beef burgers and hamburgers and so on to eating cricket bread and so on. I think it's not possible. There are people in Holland, and that my former colleague there in Holland, they are promoting insects in Europe. I think it's a novelty food, but it will not replace the conventional food. We have enough of the conventional food. But in some countries where insects used to be eaten, they should continue to use them, especially tropical countries. But the sad thing is that the idea came from the tropical countries, Papua New Guinea and other places that I've visited. And now it's taken out of their hands. And now there are big insect rearing facilities in countries like Denmark and America, Canada, I suppose, and Dutch. So I wanted that for the so-called developing countries, not so healthy countries, to develop their own ways. What is also sad is that in countries that used to use insects a lot, the use of insects is disappearing. For instance, I had a former student of mine, Andrew Müller. His name is actually Andrew Müller, not Miller, but Andrew Müller. He was an Englishman. But anyway, he worked in Thailand and Laos, and he found people are no longer interested in eating insects. They used to eat insects a lot. But the westernization of food is much more popular and attractive to local people. What happens? Laos exporting insects, edible insects, to Bangkok as a novelty food for tourists who want to eat something exotic in the restaurants there. So it's all become a little bit topsy-turvy, not the original idea I had.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's been a great deal of sensationalization of insect eating as a novelty, as this food challenge or competition, rather than recognizing it for the biocultural value it has for many cultures as part of their traditional cuisine. I think one thing that you bring to the table, Victor, that many others that I've spoken to that are interested in entomophagy is that, you know, they're primarily focused on development of novelty products of, like you said, cricket powder or, you know, fried grasshoppers, these kind of novelty products. But you've actually lived with and worked within cultures where this is a normal part of the food system. Can you give us some examples of how are insects integrated into the food system of some of the places that you've worked?
Yeah, if you go to the market in Northeast India, for instance, in Nagaland, Uttar Pradesh, you'll find lots of insects for sale. Although the governments of these Indian states, they are now wanting to ban that, not the consumption of insects. People can still eat insects. You can't ban that, because it's the same in Korea, eating dogs. You know, they want to ban the selling of dogs, but you can still eat them at home. But anyway, yes, when you go to these markets, you can see wasp larvae, you can see grasshoppers, you can see so-called stink bugs or vegetable bugs, and very tasty, in fact, are bamboo caterpillars. And they are not cheap. That is the other thing. People think this is starvation food. No, it is not starvation food. It is very expensive. You know, you can buy much cheaper pork, or even in Northeast India, people also eat beef. They are not Hindus. That is much cheaper there than the insects. People like the insects because they taste good. And I don't know if you've eaten any insects at all, but I can guarantee you, if you were to eat the larvae of the giant hornet, giant wasp, Vespa mandarinia, this is so tasty. It is really one of the best foods that I have eaten. These are very large. Amazing. Well, they are larvae. You might think they look like maggots, but they are larvae. And if you fry them nicely with a little bit of garlic or some other spices, they are delicious. And they are eaten a lot in Nagaland and in China and in some parts of East Asia in particular. So there are...
I've spent some time in the Amazon and I ate ants in the Amazon, kind of lemony ants, and also suri, which is a kind of, I think it's a palm beetle larvae that is quite tasty and very commonly consumed as a normal part of the diet. It's traditionally managed because when they cut down these palms to extract the heart of palm, they will remember where those palms are and come back because then the larvae can, you know, be found there. So it's kind of a traditional forest management, which I find to be really interesting. I didn't really see them at sale at the market. It was more of just, you know, local villages would gather these when they're out in the forest and we would eat them, you know, bring them back to cook and eat.
Yeah, but in Northeast India and some countries, you can see them in the local markets. You can buy some insects also in the supermarkets in cans. For instance, here I have these Japanese grasshoppers. And here they are. Japanese grasshoppers. You can buy them in cans like that. I don't know if you can see the grass.
Oh, wow. So for those of you that are listening and not seeing the online video, it's just a can. It looks almost like a little tuna can, and it's full of grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers, and this is a wasp larvae, what they look like. And they're called hachinoko. Hachinoko means bee larvae, but actually it's a misnomer. It is not a wasp larvae. And here we have wasp pupae, also wasp pupae. These are all very tasty, all very good. But like I said, in countries like Japan and Korea, where insects used to be eaten, ondegi in Korea was the silkworm and silkworm pupae and silkworm. Nowadays, people prefer Western food. And there's not so many people that are still craving for local and traditional foods. That's going out of fashion. And I told you my student there in Laos and in Thailand who investigated the local people, they also prefer just the junk food, you know, that comes from Western countries. And Western countries, on the other hand, they are now rearing some insects and then trying to perhaps export them back to some countries. But some insects, of course, have other uses as well. They can be used therapeutically. They contain certain valuable substances that can fight certain diseases and illnesses. And at the same time, animal feed. That is probably something I also mentioned in 1975. We don't have to eat insects directly. I mean, people don't like the looks of insects. Most people say it's disgusting or frightening or whatever. If you turn them into something that doesn't look like an insect, it's much more acceptable. You know, if you eat a sausage, you know, don't see the pig in that, you know. It's pretty horrible. Or if you, some other things, what goes into some food. It actually, I often point out, we all eat insects. You also. You don't want it. But I have here the figure from the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. You know, it will shock you. But they say a teaspoonful of pepper is allowed to have 40 insect fragments. And raisins, 224 grams or 8 ounces of raisins, they can have 35 fruit fly eggs. That is permitted. And the 16 ounces of spaghetti, they can have 450 insect parts. That is all allowed.
Even the spaghetti?
Yes. The spaghetti, yes. Well, it is cooked, of course. Therefore, it's all destroyed. And 20 maggots are allowed in 4 ounces of mushrooms. That is also okay. That is all from the FDA.
Oh,
so we all eat insects. And then people say, it's so disgusting. I would never eat insects. I say, well, you always eat insects. You just don't know.
You already do.
You just don't
know.
That's
a really good point. Yeah. That's a really good point. I mean, I think it's fascinating just the diversity of insects that can be eaten as well. I mean, when we think about the novelty products, we most commonly see kind of, again, crickets and grasshoppers, but I've read that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of different species that can be eaten.
Yeah, that is true.
Can you share with us a little bit more? You've talked about larvae, you've talked about kind of the eggs. Like, what other forms are insects eaten in? And are they usually cooked or are they raw, or does it kind of vary based on the culture?
There are so many different ways, and I have written also about that, especially in Nagaland, where I've done a lot of research. You can have them pickled. You can eat them raw. You can eat them cooked. You can dry them and later prepare them. You can fry them. Fry is probably quite good at roasting them. So there are lots of, you can grind them into a powder, which is very common. And you can turn them into a paste, some of them. It depends, of course, on what kind of insects you want to eat. And some insects can be eaten whole, like termites, for instance. They are very tasty, termites, some tropical termites. They have a nutty taste. I mean, you might say people eat termites, they are nuts. But they have quite a nice taste. And crickets are okay. They are quite widely popularized now as a kind of food ingredient. 3% of cricket powder can be found in some of the breads here in Finland. It's not a terribly popular, that kind of bread, but just because it says on it 3% of cricket powder in it. But you don't even taste it. And they use this cricket powder because it enriches the food with protein. And this leads us, of course, to discuss how healthy crickets and other insects really are. And also the question, are there some insects that should not be eaten? Are there any poisonous ones? So first of all, to your question about how many insects and the different diversity of insects that can eat, yes, an incredible number of insects. Aquatic insects, water beetles, dragonfly larvae are very popular in Northeast India, dragonfly larvae. But that may have some ecological impact because dragonflies are they are carnivores. They eat other insects. And if you remove thousands of dragonflies, then you might get an increase of other pest insects. So I really didn't like that they were eating so many dragonflies, but they are very tasty, especially pickled in India. And not all India. India is such a big country. When I talk about India, it's Northeast India mostly. There are other parts where in India where some tribal people eat insects. But of course, the Hindus, they will not eat any animal. Brahmin Hindus, there are no animals, no meat, no fish, no egg. But in Northeast India, people are not Hindus. They are mostly tribal people. Yeah. So anyway, are insects generally healthy? Well, most insects are quite rich in protein, but it depends very much. You know, some insects contain more fat than protein. If you think of termites, they are richer in fat. Some larvae also, some maggots, some grubs. You know, you can already feel. I'm surprised that you liked the rhinoceros beetle, because I didn't like, you said in Amazon, I didn't like, it was too fatty for me. So anyway, so some insects contain a lot of fat. Most insects are very rich in proteins, and a few are also quite rich in carbohydrates. Remember the honeybee, for instance, and the honeybee larvae and so on, quite rich in, actually tastes sweet. I once saw some Finnish boys here in Finland, they were stamping on bumblebees and said, "Why are you doing that? Bumblebees are very nice insects. You shouldn't do that." And they were very shy, little boys, you know, Finnish children are very shy. And said, and they were sucking them out. They said, "They're very sweet." That's the kind of a speech.
It's amazing.
Yes. So that just shows you that insects can be rich in protein, they can be rich in fat, and even carbohydrates. And most of them contain nice amounts of vitamins, except B12. B12, which is very good for blood and for the brain, that is not so widely found in insects. It's only very small amounts. When it comes to so-called essential fatty acids, I read so much about insects as food, even though that's only one part of my work. Don't let people think that 500 of my scientific articles are all on insects as food. No. Most of them are on nervous system and on eyes. My work is on vision. But, of course, a large number is on insects. But anyway, you read they contain all essential fatty acids. So, methionine and tryptophan are found in very small amounts in insects. The other essential fatty acids, other six essential fatties, yes, they are there in nice amounts. Minerals also, minerals like calcium, iron, potassium, sodium, manganese, and so on. They are usually found in healthy quantities in insects. But as I said, insect is not insect. There are so many different varieties, and we have to consider insect larvae and what they eat. There are some wood inhabiting grubs. You know, they are very tasty actually when they are fried. In New Zealand, the Maori people, they eat the so-called huhu grub. That is a wood-boring beetle, and the larvae only are eaten. They are extracted from old trees, and then they are fried, and they're quite delicious. So that is one source. Then there are people in Africa that will even eat some mayflies, because mayflies, they have these eruptions. You may have heard of that in Canada and America also, where on a few days, you might get millions of these mayflies. Yeah. So they can be caught with nets and made into little balls and then fried in either hot water or fat or whatever. That can be done. Yeah. So there are many different ways in which insects can be prepared for human consumption.
It sounds like also the life stage of the insect is very important, because you're mentioning, like, it seems like most of them are eaten at the earliest phases of their life stage, not when they're like a hard shelled beetle, but at the larval stage. Or is that right? Like, kind of when they're soft enough to be chewed easily. Is that the idea?
Yes, that is totally right. There are two reasons for that. First of all, the hard insects, of course, we can't digest chitin very well. In fact, you read in textbooks, we can't digest chitin at all. But Italian research has found that about 10% of human people produce chitinase in their body, which is an enzyme that can actually digest chitin as well. So not everybody cannot digest chitin. Chitin also adds roughage. But anyway, they have a hard outer chitin cuticle, and sometimes they have spines on their body. They have hairs. So all that is not very good to eat. In fact, it can cause some problem. There have been some cases reported where some spines of insects got stuck in the throat, and that's very uncomfortable. When it comes to the larvae, well, there are some, like this wood-boring beetle larvae. The mouth parts have to be pulled off, because they're also hard cuticle and they can bite, of course. But on the whole, yes, the larvae are much better to use than the adults, much better. There are some instances when I was in Papua New Guinea, I've seen little boys collect praying mantis. They're quite soft, of course. They don't have a very hard cuticle. And they were eating them raw, just like that. I have a photo of one. I can't find it, but where a little boy is just holding it by the wings and the large abdomen, I'm eating the abdomen of the praying mantis.
Eat it like that.
Yeah, some people like.
This reminds me of plants that children eat. Like, I'm as an ethnobotanist, I study, you know, wild foods and wild medicines, and there is a distinct knowledge of children's knowledge of snack foods, and I've not really observed a lot of the insect practices because I've been, you know, focused on the plants. But it is interesting, these little snack plants that kids have, and it sounds like also snack insects that they prefer as little treats.
Little children are, on the whole, more adventurous than adults. And it depends also where you go in the world. Sometimes women are more adventurous, but in some tribes, men are more adventurous eating insects. But children, yes, they are not. I mean, I know of some boy who was eating earthworms in New Zealand because he saw that birds are always eating earthworms. And he thought, that must be very good food. If the birds grow so well, the baby birds, you know, they grow just being fed earthworms. You know, but one has to be careful what kind of insects and what kind of invertebrates you eat. Not only I told you about those insect hairs and the insect spines, there are some insects that contain some poisons. You know, the milabres, the Spanish flea, which used to be as an aphrodisiac. You know, that can kill people if you eat too much of that. And there are some other insects that eat some poisonous plant sap, or insects that have been growing in sewage. You know, that is not terribly nice because they will contain bacteria and other organisms.
Harmful bacteria.
It's best.
You should also, I'm guessing, should you also avoid insects that you might find in the home? Like, I mean, we're not talking about eating like that, the common house cockroach or something like that, right?
The cockroach is a very interesting one. It is one that I really don't like, but I've known of some Japanese guys who say cockroaches are the best food to eat. So the cockroaches don't contain the very microbes, bad microbes, and they are being used in many countries also as a medicine. Cockroaches, you can grind them up, and they're used therapeutically against asthma in Brazil by traditional people, and also against some other illnesses. So it's pretty awful. They stink, you know. That's what I don't like about cockroaches. They have this odor, but so do stink bugs, the vegetable bugs. And that I find very tasty. I ate it a lot in Japan and in East Asia, Southeast Asia. They eat the stink bug. It's quite tasty. It has an aromatic smell and aromatic taste. But the cockroach, I don't know. But anyway, it would be quite safe to eat the cockroach because I know people who use them in Japan, not very many people. In fact, when you read this announcement that 2 billion people in the world eat insects, that is nonsense. That is absolute nonsense. In Japan, for instance, there's only the Nagano Prefecture and Gunma, just two prefectures. Very few people will eat some insects there. But elsewhere in Japan, insects are virtually not eaten at all. You know, some people will say, oh, never eat insects. You know, I've been living in Japan for more than 5 years, so I know very well. So when I always hear Japanese eat insects, that is such nonsense. Maybe less than 1%, less than 0.1% eat insects sometimes. And regularly do 2 billion people. That has also been disputed by the same people who put out that figure earlier, 10 years ago. We are now saying that this figure is inflated and it's wrong and so. So what does it mean, eat insects? Once a year or once a week? Or, you know, that's why these figures are pretty meaningless. Yeah. But the fact is that traditionally in the past, yes, insects were eaten all over the world. Yeah. And then other food became more delicious or more available. And only in some countries, people remained attached to insects as a kind of snack food. Like some places, insects are more expensive.
I think I can't help but imagine that, you know, when you go back in time to look at early hominids, and we talk about hunter-gatherer societies, and we focus on, you know, hunting big game or fishing or collecting wild plants and mushrooms, it's strange to me that we don't include insects in that discourse. And I, you know, I'm not a paleobotanist, so I'm not sure, or a paleobiologist, I'm not sure what evidence we have of ancient insect use, but I would be shocked if this was not an early practice among humans, because, you know, especially in the tropics.
You're totally right. There are several studies that show that even vegetarian monkeys or apes, they do eat insects. So because they find them in the fruit or on the leaf and so on, and why not eat it if it's there? So they already ate insects. And our ancestors way back, pre-hominids, they must have eaten insects as well. And there's very little in terms of cave drawings or some evidence where we see always in Altamira and Lascaux and Europe, these big animals like mammoths and horses and so on. Very rarely is something that looks like an insect. There are some. And there's a Les Trois Frères, is a cave, which is a private cave, called Big Wen, whom I met, and he showed me that. He has some stones in which some insects were scratched by a Cro-Magnon man, maybe 14,000 years ago. So why would they scratch insects in these stones? There's several of those. Maybe because they were eating them, like grasshoppers and so on. So that is, but of course, we find some drawings elsewhere in the world of honeybee collecting, honeybee collectors. Huh. Honeybees have been collected in the Stone Ages already, and they were probably not only collected because of the honey, most likely. The word medicine, in fact, goes to mid, which is a form of honey beverage. And I have some list of names in different countries, all related to mid, that has been a very ancient tradition, using honeybees and honey as food. But they may have eaten also the larvae of the honeybee in the honeycomb. You know, if you collect the honey, inevitably, there are also the larvae, and you will not pull out the larvae if you can eat the whole lot together. And I've seen Australian Aborigines, they literally eat everything, even the live bee that are on that. These honeybees in Australia, they don't sting, but they can bite. They don't sting, but they can still bite. So I've seen old men.
The mule that bites back.
Digging in with their hands into the honeycomb and eating everything. Yes. So, of course, the bees in particular have been used therapeutically since ancient times, since time immemorial. The honeybee even now contains so many different chemicals that are being used in so many different ways that there are whole books written about the use of bee. And people have overlooked that other insects, not only honeybees, other insects also contain valuable chemicals that can be used in fighting certain forms of cancer, I suppose, certain forms of metabolic illnesses, and even heart disease and so on. There's a whole list of edible and useful, therapeutically useful insects. In fact, there's a book by Mimura in Japan listing 100 or so species of butterflies and moths that can be used to treat almost anything from broken bones to asthma and hair loss and everything. I don't know, of course, how much is superstition and how much is real. And that is something that ethnobiologists like myself and others have to investigate. We just can't lump all this together as superstition. There may well be some useful. If something has persisted for years and if it has survived the test of time, you know, like in many parts of the world where they're using certain insects against stomach ache or whatever it is, then we have to investigate and see maybe there is some useful material in the insect. If there isn't, then we can forget about it. But we must not ignore. That's what I'm saying.
Incredible. Well, Victor, I think you have just an incredible view of how this field has, you know, grown, changed over really the past 50 years. Yeah. What's your vision for the future of edible insects or of insects in the human and in the animal diets? Do you think there's a place for it in the future?
Yeah. I think certainly we should make use of insects. I still think destroying insect pests like locust swarms, which every now and then ravage parts of the world, in Africa, in Australia, in Asia, in India, in North America also. So to just destroy these insects is useless. I mean, one can make use of them as a fertilizer. One can make use of them as feed for hogs and pigs, poultry, and aquaculture. You know, more and more culturists, they are feeding their fish with some insect larvae, especially the black soldier fly. The black soldier fly has become the workhorse in the industry of insect feed. It is easy to breed. It doesn't attack humans. It feeds on not so much on sewage, but just human food wastes and so on. It's quite a good insect, you know, and it has a very short life cycle. This is why people work in promoting the black soldier fly. It's very much, you can find it also in America. There are some companies that are rearing black soldier fly, not for human consumption, but as animal feed. And I think there's the future. I think insects as human food, well, there's a small market for it. Yes, novelty food. I can't share the enthusiasm with my Dutch colleagues that we will turn away from hamburgers and steak and so on and use insects. I don't think so. People like the tastes of their conventional foods. And even if we would argue insects can be healthier, which according to some study by Charlotte Payne and others, they say basically insects are not healthier or more nutritious. The advantages, as you have pointed out earlier, are different ones. Lower carbon footprints can be kept in a small area, and so on. We've pointed that out. That is the main reason I think one should promote insects. But to make them a major food in Western countries, we can try to stop the erosion, the loss of the entomophagy, the eating of insects, in countries where they used to be eaten. But unfortunately, as I told you, I can see it in Laos, in Kampuchea, in Thailand, in Northeast India, where people are going for this Western, I call it junk food. And that is very sad. So well, we have to, I mean, even some Americans, they tend to look down at people. You know, your famous Oprah Winfrey, when she visited India, she is supposed to have said, look at these Indians, they are still eating with fingers. And Indians didn't take that very well, because eating with fingers gives them an additional sense of enjoying food. We can enjoy food only by eye, by nose, and taste. But the Indians,
yeah.
I was married to an Indian wife for 20 years. She says, we have an additional sense. When we feel the food, we have only food tastes right when we can also feel it. We see it, we smell
like
it, we taste it, and we feel it. Mm-hmm. So that is actually the additional advantage of using food.
Yeah.
Anyway, the tendency is that people look down, even now, looking down at insects as food. And that's something that we have to overcome.
So I think I love this perspective that you're bringing up that, you know, that while they do have nutritional components, and again, it varies based on the insect, that some of the bigger wins might be more for the health of the planet, of sustainable food sources, also of, you know, reducing our dependence upon livestock, intelligent large animals that we slaughter for food. So it gives maybe instead of pescatarian, we can have bugatarians in the future, you know, like not just fish and vegetables, but just bugs and vegetables as a new trend. Something to think about. I really enjoyed this, Victor. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate your insights in this subject, and you've shared a lot of really great points. You've been listening to Foodie Pharmacology, the science podcast for the food curious, recorded for you today on Squadcast. I want to give a big shout out of thanks to our producers, to Rob Cohen and Christine Roth, for putting on a great show for you. If you don't already subscribe to the show, make sure that you do. We're available in all of your favorite podcast streaming services. You can also listen to us directly on our website at foodiepharmacology.com, where we also have lots of fun merch and items you can check out. Lastly, if you want to see the video version of this show, just head on over to the Teach Ethnobotany YouTube channel, where we have this episode and the others there waiting for your viewing pleasure. Thanks so much for listening. Stay healthy out there, and I'll see you next time.